If you've seen the new movie Promised Land, you got Hollywood's take on the divergent views about shale and a glimpse into a community not unlike the one Susan Phillips just took us to. Phillips will join me in a moment to discuss her reporting on something called the truthiness of that film. In Promised Land, Matt Damon works for a big drilling company trying to lease land from residents of a small town. While there, he falls for a local school teacher. John Krasinski plays a guy who's come to town to warn about potential harms of fracking. Let's hear what some moviegoers thought about Promised Land when they were interviewed by the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier.
Can I ask, why did you decide to come to the movie?
The ads are pretty good. There's a lot of press saying it's a good movie. I like Matt Damon.
Well, first of all, you know, I like Matt Damon.
Matt Damon was in it.
And what's his name, Krasinski?
Because I thought it might enlighten me a little more about the issues of fracking.
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
The trueness of the story, the facts. It's going on, what's going on in Pennsylvania.
I'm not sure. I know that a big gas company would do whatever they could to get what they wanted, but I'm not sure that they're clever enough or sneaky enough to pull off an act like that. So maybe the story's a little bit stretched, but it was a good story.
It was an interesting movie. And what it does, it causes people to think about, is this the right thing or is it the bad thing?
How much about the issue do you know about?
Not really a whole lot. I've heard that it endangers our water supplies, fracking, but, you know, I'm really not sure.
I've read a little bit about it. I've been to places where they've developed gas, and I've seen the kind of changes that happen in a small town. I think it was probably not as realistic as it could have been.
I mean, I've not sat down and studied it, and I don't think ever will. It's something that's going to happen. We can't stop it. It's going to happen because it's there. People know it's there, and there's big money to be made. And let's face it, big money controls everything.
Do you think you'll go out and try to research the issue more?
Yeah, absolutely.
How sort of accurate does it seem or realistic?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I have no idea how to go about finding the truth of the information because everything's so skewed everywhere you go anymore.
That was Steve Shriver, Bud Billiard, Donna Petrelli, Joan Raymond, and Joe Zalesniak. The interviews were conducted at movie theaters in Washington and Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, both near Pittsburgh. Susan Phillips joins me now. She's been reporting on shale and other energy stories for a year and a half with NPR's State Impact Pennsylvania Project. Susan, Happy New Year, and thanks for talking with me.
It's great to be here.
So you looked at how real or truthy was sort of the word you used that Promised Land is. And first of all, though, you heard our moviegoers. They're really struggling to find information. Some are just saying they think this whole topic is too complicated. They don't expect they'll even invest the time to learn about shale drilling as a shale reporter. What's your reaction to that?
It's not surprising at all. There's a lot of information out there contradicting itself. There's a lot of misinformation, and there's a lot of polarization when it comes to environmental issues surrounding shale gas drilling and hydraulic fracturing, otherwise known as fracking to most people. And I think the movie itself is a Hollywood movie, so nobody should expect to get an instruction on gas drilling from the movie. And there is a particular scene in the movie where John Krasinski's character, who plays an activist, is in a schoolhouse, a schoolroom.
Right, it's like a play school farm that he says
right,
is like his own farm, yes.
Yeah, he's sitting in front of a classroom full of like third graders or fourth graders, I don't know. And his explanation of fracking is shaking chemicals all over this play school farm and lighting it on fire, which, of course, is not anywhere near reality. But I think when it comes to reporting on shale gas, it is a real challenge to be the honest broker. The information that's out there from both sides tends to get exaggerated, and some information tends to get ignored based on what their point of view is.
Mm. I hope it's not too much of a spoiler to let people know that images of dead cows play a role in this film.
That's right.
And your blog post that you wrote recently looks at whether there really is this link between fracking and bovine deaths. Where did you come down on that?
Well, my first inclination, or I'm sorry, my first story that I did that had anything to do with livestock or animals and the impact of fracking on farming livestock was when I heard about a quarantine that the Department of Agriculture, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, had quarantined a herd of cows up in northeast Pennsylvania because they had come in contact with frack water, and the frack water had leaked from a holding pond and the cows had walked through it. And nobody really knows whether they drank it or what happened. It just that they found the hoof prints. They quarantined the cows. And when I followed up, you know, months later with the farmer, she told me that almost all of the calves that had been born of that herd of cattle were either stillborn or severely deformed. And she linked that with, you know, the exposure to the frack water. Of course, she's a farmer. She's not a scientist. But basically what she said was she's been doing this, you know, 50 years, and she's never seen that many calves die. And so then it was part of a study that was done by some researchers into the impact of frack fluid exposure to farm animals. And they made the conclusion that the cattle's association with the spilled frack water contributed to the death of the calves. And that's, of course, still very controversial. The state concluded that there was no impact.
Okay. Finally, this issue of numbers in the shale play is one of the things you looked at. Matt Damon's character, Gasland Man, and he's joined by Frances McDormand. They work for this fictitious company called Global. And at times, they offer landowners, primarily farmers, $5,000 an acre and 18% royalties for signing on. Are these in keeping with reality?
Well, they were at the height of the gas boom, for sure. And I think that when the gas boom began, you know, these are folks that had been leasing to gas companies for generations, right? So what a lot of farmers told me was, oh, yeah, you know, every so often somebody would knock on their door and ask to lease their mineral rights. And they would give them some amount of money, and that would be enough to pay their taxes that year, but not that much, you know. And then, you know, the folks would never show up and they would never drill. But when it came to the Marcellus, which is a deeper formation, and which slick water hydraulic fracturing made it possible and made it worth it for the gas companies to drill, they actually did show up. But a lot of these farmers only got, you know, $50 an acre, $100 an acre. And once the land rush began and the landowners themselves started to realize, oh, wait, you know, there's a lot more money beneath my land than I thought, then the landmen started signing leases for $5,000, $6,000 an acre. So there's a big gap between certain people who signed up early and people who signed up a little later.
So you've gotten a lot of nice interaction from visitors to your website about what they thought of the film. That conversation continues at stateimpact.npr.org/Pennsylvania. Thanks for speaking with me, Susan.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was State Impact Pennsylvania reporter Susan Phillips, who gave us her take on the truthiness of the film Promised Land. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan. You're listening to the Allegheny Front.